And whether you know it or not, that's how you've made it this far. If you intend on making it to heaven, it'll be by Him and Him alone. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, I bless His name. Wonderful. Just the choir, tremendous this morning. Everything's just been absolutely wonderful. Kids singing, Hosanna to the Lord. What a Savior. What a Lord. I appreciate you being here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And God give you breath and the physical ability to get up out of your bed this morning and get to church. Then you know how you made it. Not in a Toyota or a Ford, but you made it by the grace of God and by the goodness of God. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so you say, but I don't feel worthy. I didn't say we're praising you. We're praising the Lord. And I promise you, He's worthy. He is great and greatly to be praised. Again, I want to thank you for visiting with us. You're an honored guest. Thank you so much for being here. And those who are watching via Facebook and the internet, we thank y'all for tuning in. I know some would love to be here and had planned to be here. Physical maladies had other ideas, but please pray for them that can't be here and wants to be. Also, please pray for them who can be here and don't want to be. Both need prayer just as bad. Let's take our Bibles this morning. I had planned and had began a message Wednesday night on who is Jesus Christ to you. And I had planned to go back there and finish that. But after praying, I felt led to go a different direction this morning. We may pick back up there tonight. But if you will, go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 4. The Gospel of John chapter number 4. And you've been seated a while. We'll stand together as we read and reverence the Word of God. After you found your place, say amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse number 3. The Bible said, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. The Bible said in verse number 6, Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now that's amazing to me that Jesus would become weary, that Jesus could become tired. I mean, we know that He was God, He was the Son of God, but many times we forget that He, by choice, robed Himself in flesh. And He was just as much man as He was God. He wasn't just a little bit man and a whole lot God. He was a whole lot man and a whole lot God. As one preacher said, He was the God-man. And that's true. But the weariness, this weariness brings Jesus to this well while His disciples left, as we just read, to go to town and to buy some food. And in this weariness, Jesus made a choice to sit on the edge of this well. And here's my message this morning. Living life with your tank on E. Living life with your tank on E. How many of us know what it's like to live your life on E? Let me say this. How many of you know what it's like to drive a car on E? I promise you, I know what that's like. How many of you hadn't bought more than $5 worth of gas at a time in the last couple of years? I was driving down the road this past week, and the little light on my dash come on, and you know which light I'm talking about, that little gas light. The gas light came on, and here's what I know. When that light comes on, it's merely a suggestion. It's a friendly reminder that at some point, sometime soon, I better stop and fill up and get some gas, or I'm going to be on the side of the road. The truth is, we all run low from time to time. And here's what we must be aware of. If you run low long enough, you will run out. Now let's take that out of the parking lot and put it in the pulpit and the pew. Did you know that we are built by God with three tanks? We're built in the image of God, and we have three tanks that we run off of in life. When God created the world, God spoke everything into existence. But when it came time to create man, God said, let's have a staff meeting in heaven. And God said to God, let us make man in our own image. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit agreed that they would create man in the image of God. God is a triune being. And we too, as human beings, are a triune person. Body, soul, and spirit in the image of God. And God created us in His own likeness. And so every person born on earth is a triune being. We are composed of three major factors: body, soul, and spirit. The body, of course, is the physical, the spirit, the spiritual, and the soul speaks of the emotion or the feelings of a man or a woman. And so every person is three in one. You are a soul. You are an emotional being. You are a body. You have a physical being, and you're a spirit which speaks to your spiritual. And for each part of us, there is a tank associated with that particular part of our being. You have a spiritual tank, and you must be fed on a regular basis a good diet of spiritual food or gas, or you will run out spiritually. And you'll run low spiritually. The same is true physically. You quit eating, you're going to run low physically. And if you go out into this life, especially in the world we're living in, and you never have any intake into your emotional well-being, you will run low. This world is waiting and willing to zap you of your emotional state. Never in the history of humanity have there been more prescription drugs being given out and prescriptions being written because men and women, boys and girls, sadly, are being fed by the millions and billions to try to deal with this emotional emptiness that they have. And because we're living in a world that takes and takes and takes. But God designed us this way. God designed us to have a physical being, a spiritual being, and an emotional being. And it's not God's desire. Listen, I know some people need medicine, but I believe it's a disgrace. I believe it's a sin against God, and it's a sin against humanity that the government and all these big pharma has pushed and pushed and pushed and promoted to make a dollar, and has put the drugs that they have done into the children, and we have children walking around like zombies. When they need a belt, not a pill. Now, again, I repeat, I'm not lumping everybody. I'm saying there are people and there are certain circumstances that medication is needed. I'm not saying, don't leave here saying I said taking medicine's a sin. That's not true. But it is true that the amount that's being prescribed and given is absolutely absurd and wicked. You must fill your emotional tank, because we all know life will empty your emotional tank quick and in a hurry. If you don't fill up emotionally, I promise you, life will deplete you and you will find yourself empty. And then the physical body. If we're not careful, life will deplete us physically. And so hear me on this. All three of these tanks are connected. And it's very important you get that. Now you can't say, well, I'm doing good spiritually. I'm doing great spiritually, and so I can neglect eating physically. Because you go too long without eating and having input physically, and your body becomes sick and you become anemic, I guarantee you it will affect you spiritually and emotionally, because these three tanks are connected. And so keep that in mind as we move forward with this message. You cannot segment or divide these tanks from each other. When you hurt yourself physically, it affects you emotionally. If you don't agree with that, bring your thumb up here to me and a hammer. Put it on the pulpit. And let's see if your physical state and your emotional state and your spiritual state are not connected. Because you let me hit your thumb with a hammer, you probably are going to be affected emotionally and probably spiritually, because you're probably going to say something out loud in front of God and the church and everybody that you shouldn't say privately. My point being, these three tanks are connected. And when you hurt physically, it will hurt your feelings, and it will also hurt you spiritually, because they are connected. And just like we are connected physically, emotionally, and spiritually, those tanks are connected. And when one runs low, it pulls from the other tank. And when one tank runs out, we will often get the assistance and the help from the other tank. But the problem is, when you run all of them dry, when you run your physical body completely dry and it's on E, and you allow your emotional state, and you can let your physical body get down, and just like I said, it can draw from the emotional state and the spiritual state and get you through for a period of time. But over time, when one's depleted and drawing from the other and drawing from the other and drawing from the other, before long, all three of them will be empty, and then you are in dangerous, dangerous territory. I love old trucks. The old trucks, some of you remember this. You young kids won't have any idea what I'm talking about, but those that are a little older will. But those old trucks, how many of you remember them trucks that would have two tanks? Them old Chevrolets and Fords, you'd go to fill up and you'd open the first gas cap and fill that one up, and then you'd go right back a little bit on the bed and you'd fill that tank up. And then you ride down the road and forget. And back then they didn't have lights to warn you. And so when it bogged down, spit and sputter and cut off, all you would do was flip the switch and it'd go from one tank to the next and pick right back up and move on down the road. However, when that second tank run out, Chevrolet and Ford didn't come up with a third tank. So you was going to be sitting on side of the road. The thing about them old trucks, they only offered two tanks, not three, four, or more. And so when you run out, you couldn't just keep hitting buttons to make it. At the same point, no matter how busy you are, and no matter how late you are running, no matter how important of a meeting you have to get to, at some point, you have to quit trying to make it off reserve and quit making it off of flipping buttons and making it off of fumes. And you got to take the time and pull over and put more gas in the truck if you're going to make it. That's true when we're talking about a car, but it's also true when we're talking about the spiritual state of us and the emotional state of us. Listen, we can't expect to just cruise through this thing called the Christian life when we are already at odds with the world and we are going against the current of the world and the winds of the world are blowing. There's nothing aerodynamic about being a Christian. We are at all the time going in the face of opposition, and if you're going to make it, and if I'm going to make it, it's going to be because at some point in our life, we understand that the gas light comes on, and we got to be able to recognize, listen, that the lights are flashing, the signals are flashing, and when we are low, it's important that we pull over and refuel, or we will be on the side of the road, spiritually speaking, while people pass us by. There are times in life when I am full spiritually. And my walk with God is an A+. There are times in my life when I am way up emotionally. I'm happy, I ain't mad at nobody. And there may be people mad at me, but I don't even care. Because I'm good emotionally. Then there's times when I'm at the top physically. And I feel good. I'm eating good. I'm sleeping good. And physically speaking, I'm good. But as life goes on, those tanks get used. And as the schedules and the pressures of life come and go, those tanks get used and they get depleted. And when I get low spiritually, I may still feel like I'm good to go because I'm still full physically and emotionally. I may be good physically, but my spiritual tank is empty. I ain't been reading my Bible. I ain't been praying. I wake up on Sunday morning and question whether or not I'll come to church. About 5 o'clock this afternoon, may be doing good physically, but if my spiritual tank is empty, I'll begin to come up with excuses and reasons and other things. And other places that I could be and other things I should be doing. And I can run for a while physically when I'm good. I can run out physically and still function because my emotional tank is full. I have a good mindset, surrounded by good people, and I'm facing life with a positive attitude. And there is help when you're emotionally full. But we must be careful because there's a danger because eventually at some point, if unaddressed, we will run out on all three tanks, and when all three are empty, we are in danger. Hear me, I'm going somewhere. You say, what's all this got to do with Jesus being wearied at the well? Jesus in the text that we just read was running on E. You say, impossible. It's not impossible. It's strange to even say that Jesus was running on empty. It almost sounds like an oxymoron. It almost sounds like it can't be true. But God thought enough about us to put it in the Word of God that Jesus was wearied in, not just in the journey, in His journey. And so God put that in there for a reason, to remind us and to alert us that if Jesus can get to a place where He's operating and running on empty, surely we can.
And I'm going to prove to you and show to you that Jesus didn't take it lightly. Jesus didn't just say, well, I'll push through. I'll just make it through. Why do you think he sat down? Because he was wearied. There were times in the Bible that Jesus, we know, listen, you say Jesus couldn't get weary. Jesus, no, he the Bible said he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, meaning he had feelings. He knew what it was like to feel. He knew what it was like to have emotion. He wept, the Bible talked about. There's places that talked about Jesus singing. There's other places talked about where Jesus would get angry. I mean, he was righteous and holy in his anger, but he still, emotionally, he was charged and angered and sad and wept and laughed, just like we do. He was grieved. He felt forsaken, etc., etc. My point is, he was the perfect Son of God, but he still got depleted physically, emotionally, and his journey on this earth depleted him from time to time. And if that happened to Jesus, it should alarm all of us, and we should all take note that if it happened to him and he done something about it, so should we. There were times in the life of Jesus that he would pull away and say, I don't need to be preaching right now. I don't need to be working miracles right now. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm wore out. And Jesus would send the disciples away and he would depart alone and go into a mountain and spend time with the Father alone and pray to the Father alone. There's even times we read about in the Word of God, more than one time, where Jesus took naps. And all God's people said, amen. There's times in your life you need to rest. If Jesus did, surely we do. If you don't like what I'm preaching, you can't get along. You can't go along with anything I'm saying. Everybody in here ought to be able to say amen to the fact I'm saying it's okay to take a nap. If my wife was a shouting woman, she'd be shouting on that point right there. Jesus understood he had to have time to be renewed and refreshed and refueled. And he understood he couldn't always be working miracles. He couldn't always be preaching. He couldn't always be, because Jesus had the same tanks that we have that would be depleted. And when we come to John chapter 4, Jesus is down there where he was on the low side of the quarter of a tank, bumping E. Jesus got close to empty and he sat down. Don't you think we ought to be careful not to keep pushing when we get on E? I say we should. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom. I don't care if you're a construction worker or you sit in a cubicle somewhere. We all have the capability of running on empty. And if not addressed, we'll be stopped and stranded in this road of life we're walking. Most of us and most of our problems are very much connected to what I'm preaching on this morning. This is not a shallow message, and though it seems like it, I promise you, most of our problems are connected to what I'm preaching on this morning. We allow one of these three tanks, physical, emotional, and spiritual, we allow them to be depleted and unaddressed, and rather than refill them, we allow them to run empty. And that's why people get out. That's why people who you never dreamed would get out of church now are sitting at home this morning rather than sitting here with us. That's why people who you never thought would get back out in sin, because they failed to address being depleted physically and emotionally and spiritually, and now they're out. Physical battles will deplete you emotionally and spiritually. Your body will be hurting from head to toe, and you'll feel like Jesus don't love you and has forgotten about you. You can have spiritual battles, praying and burden for a lost friend and battling spiritually for a wayward child. And while you are pouring yourself out and pouring yourself out spiritually, you will be getting drained emotionally. And before you know it, you'll be snapping and being short with people. And a lot of times the people you love the most, because you failed to replenish and you failed to refuel emotionally and physically, and you hadn't had sleep, and you've been going at it 24/7, and you've been working 15 hours a day, and you, when you get home from work, you go do your chores and your duties, and then the very people that you love most, you will snap at and get short with. And that ought to be a flashing gas light letting you know you're on empty. You're on empty. And it can't go unaddressed. All this stuff is connected. And Jesus was as well. And I'm going to show you three things quickly concerning the three things I want you to remember when your tank is running on empty. Number one, know how to read your gauges. This goes for a car and the Christian life. You need to know how to read your gauges. Learn to recognize when you're running low. That's so important. Understand, learn that in life there will be, just like on the dash of your car that blinks up and says, low fuel, so many miles to empty. In life, in the spiritual realm, in the emotional realm, in the physical realm, God has given us indicators. God's given us warning signs to let us know. And we got to learn what those are in life, so before we run slap out, so before we are completely depleted, that we can recognize the problem and address the problem and get help before we're out. So number one, recognize and understand how to read your gauges. Those old cars and trucks, as we mentioned, them old Chevys, especially them old box Chevys, you could fill them things up and get that hand would go way past full. And you could drive, seem like, for days and it'd still be way past full. But when that thing come down to right below full, zoof, it'd go all the way down to the bottom. And when it got about to a quarter of a tank, you better be hunting some Petro soon. Yeah. I'm saying gauges are different, so you better learn your gauges. Things that will deplete you may not deplete me. Things that deplete me physically or emotionally may not deplete you. But you must learn your gauges. You must learn when you are running low, because it absolutely matters when you're low. If not addressed, you're gonna run out. You say, not me. Trust me. There's been way. You remember John the Baptist. Who Jesus said, there's never been one born a woman greater. Remember when they throw John in prison, and there he was, running on empty emotionally, running on empty physically and spiritually, and even John said, is it he or should I look for another? Nobody ever dreamed John would have got to a place to say such a thing. And Jesus had to send word to him and remind him, remember all the miracles I've done, remember how great things I've done. And I'm simply saying, if that could happen to Jesus or that could happen to John, it can happen to us. And we must learn how to read the gauges in our life to understand when and how to fill up. You must get familiar and learn how your gauges work, and you can better get in touch with who you are in connection with your tanks. If you have to learn to recognize when your tanks are running low, I really hope that you can get a hold of this truth and settle it down in your heart. When you see the gauges and signs that you are running low, you may not be able to refill and refuel right then, but you should at least be aware that this is a situation that must be addressed and soon. We are world number. I mean, we're the world's best at putting it off. I am. That's one of my worst traits. Jenny, she ain't that way. If she sees something that needs to be done, she will stop what she's doing and she will get it done. And she ain't like me. And she drives me insane. I'll say, "Woman, do you ever stop?" She's like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, when she wakes up from till the time she goes to sleep, she's doing this and doing that and doing that. And she'll say, "Did you do this?" "No, but I'm going to." "Did you do that?" "No, but I'm going to." "Did you call this?" "No, but I'm going to." That's what she's going to put on my tombstone. "No, but he was going to." If y'all read about it, did the preacher die? "No, but he's going to." I'm simply saying we're the world's best at thinking we're okay. And that we can defy the odds. And that we can run without fuel. Yeah. How many of y'all believe that a car can run empty and keep running? Nobody. Nobody that understands how an engine works would dare try to convince anybody that you can run it bone dry and this is going to keep going. Yeah. It's impossible. But for some reason, we feel like we're so strong and we're so above the law that when it comes to physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, that even when we run out, we'll be able to push through. And that's a dangerous thing because you are no exception to the rule and I'm no exception to the rule. You let your physical body go, it's going to pull off the tank of your emotion and that's going to pull off the tank of your spiritual, and before you know it, you are bone dry in every category and you are stranded and you are making no progress, period. And somebody's going to have to come to your rescue and tow you because you will not be able to push yourself. So learn how to read your gauges. Spiritually, what are the signs of being on E spiritually? We're just going to deal with this first point this morning. How to read your gauges. What's the signs? How do you know when your gauges are running low spiritually? There's no worship. How do I know if I'm running low? When you can sit in a service like you did this morning, and the God of heaven come in here, and the God of heaven comes and manifests himself, and his presence and his power is permeating the room, and you can sit there and be untouched and unmoved. It's a good indication. Low fuel. You're running on empty. No worship is one indicator. Another one, no praise. They were people who come up here and bowed, got on their knees, and that's what worship is, when you bow your heart and bow your head and bend your knees to the God of heaven. That's how you worship. Praise is different. Praise is a standing up and a lifting up of the hands and a lifting up of the voice. And when you sit in the service like you did this morning and we hear such powerful truths as, "Do you know how I made it? I made it by grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found." If nothing on the inside of you is stirred, if nothing on the inside of you wants to lift your hand up and say, "Praise the Lord, I couldn't save me. I couldn't forgive me, but He did, so praise the Lord," and come out my lips, even praise to our God, and offer a sacrifice of praise. Yeah. If that never happens to you, understand me, quit lying to yourself and say, "I'm just not the emotional type." Yeah. No, you are being dishonest with yourself. Amen. I'm just quiet. Again, bring your hammer, bring your thumb. I'll show you how quiet you are. When you never praise the Lord, you're running spiritually on E.
That's right.
When you never worship the Lord, when you never come and bow, when you never feel the need to come and get an altar and bow your knee and to bow your heart and bow your head. Hey, we're about to go home. We're about to go home. Everybody look up here. You're about to get your belly full. You're about to get your belly full. Listen to me, though. Please hear me on this. It burdens my heart and it bothers me. And we've had a lot of movement lately. People come to the altars and I think it's great. But there's some of you that I've never seen come to the altar. There's some of you that I've only seen come to the altar one or two times. And October, I'll be here 5 years. Hear me right here. Do you know that Muslims put down a mat and three times a day they put their knees to the ground and they put their head to the ground and they bow toward Mecca three times a day?
Amen. Help us.
Yes. To a dead God.
Yes.
To a pagan God. If Muslims can bow down and bend their knees and bend their heart and bow their head to a false God under heaven, why can't you ever come and bow before the God of heaven, the true and living God who gave Himself that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He did that for you. And you telling me you have nothing in you that pulls you to want to worship Him and bow before Him? Hear me. If you never do, you're on E. And you're close to running out. You say, you're trying to put me on a guilt trip? No, but it ought to make you feel pretty guilty. After all He's done, and you let a Muslim out worship you. There's no worship. There's no praise. When you can sit in church and the choir sings, and look, here's your sign. It's flashing. How do I know if I'm on E? No worship. No praise. You're about out of gas. There are spiritual gauges, signs, warning indicators, flashing lights for your spiritual tank that illuminate and go off and let you know you're running dangerously low. What are some of those gas lights that should warn us? When you lose your desire for the Word of God. Remember, if you're saved, you love His Word. And nothing will empty your tank quicker than getting away from it. Hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me. The whole book of Psalms. Read David and the psalmist and how many times over and over and over and over he said, "Oh, how I love thy word. How I love thy statutes. I hold them above my own food." And over and over and over it just talks about how precious and how promising and precious the word of God is. In other words, if you're saved, you have a love and a relationship with His Word. And when you fail to, warning sign, you're on E. What about your prayer life? You don't know what another indicator to let you know you're running low? You're on empty? You're living on empty. You ain't praying no more. You say, "But I just ain't comfortable praying." Start praying, and you'll get comfortable praying. How do I get past not feeling comfortable? Pray. I just don't know how to. Pray. You'll learn how to. You learn how, and you get comfortable with it by doing it. You can't read books. I taught for over a year on prayer and how to pray, and so hear me. All that's great, and we'll teach more and we'll preach more about how to pray and how to be more effective. But the main thing is not reading it in a book, not hearing it taught, praying and learning how to pray is not taught; it is caught by doing it. And when you're not, it ain't my opinion, you're on E. That's a neon flashing light that lets you know you're on E.
emotionally. There are signs and indicators. And I'm just going to preach to me. I'm done right here. I'm just going to preach to me. If you get help from it, then hop in. But when I'm running on E emotionally, I get mean as a devil. I do. Ask her. It's true. When I'm emotionally running on E, I will snap. I will.